All right. Well, here we are today, Wednesday, for question and answer. We had a great, I've gotten some great feedback on the this last module and the guided visualization. So if Veronica, if you'd
Go
like to
ahead.
talk about or ask any questions, you have any questions about that?
Yes, I do. I found it to be very helpful. It was sort of tied up a lot of loose ends for me. I did have some questions. In the guided meditation, every now and then, I'd say probably everyone that I've done it a lot since I've received it. I sometimes drift off somewhere, and then I come back, and it doesn't feel to me like I've left the continuum. But I just wondered if that affects the overall outcome of the intent of the meditation, which the, and the intent of the meditation is for healing. You know, for healing yourself. So, I just wondered if that's.
That's an excellent, really good question, because I'm one to drift off a lot during visualizations, or and it happened to me a lot in these last several weeks. Now, a long time ago, I was taking so divine healing from Reverend Joan Lee, and late Reverend Joan Lee, and she when she would start talking, particularly leading on us on a guided visualization, I would just go right out almost instantly, never heard a word. And then afterwards, she would ask all of these questions, like, okay, did you see the door? What color was it? You know, all these sort of things. And so I'm listening to everybody, and I'm thinking, I'm going to fake it, and I've heard enough, you know. And then I thought, well, there's no sense to that, you know. And so I just told her, I said, look, every time you start talking, I completely go away. And she laughed, and she said, oh, you're just like my husband. Oh, she was a pickle. And then she said, seriously, what's happening is you're starting to listen with your third eye. And when you're doing that, your brain is completely bypassed. Okay? Now, let's clarify something about bypass, because we're not really bypassing it. Your brain's getting the information. But what we're doing is going to the heart for direction, not the brain. The brain often takes the same or even more beautiful or different information and pigeonholes it into certain categories that always come out with the same answer. So your I am presence, your heart, purposefully takes you away. So you're not cognizant of the information that you're receiving, and you're actually getting the information at a much higher level. Now I'm going to take that even a bit further. And I'm going to develop this, but I haven't got it down yet. But what we did was we practiced, for example, going into our heart, what Drumvolo calls the tiny space in the heart. And this is equivalent to centering. But then we did something fantastic. And this equates to, like, have you ever driven down the road, go out into your destination, and you can't remember how you got there?
Yes.
You're so in deep in thought, you don't remember you made a turn, you went this way, that way. Right. How come you didn't get in an accident? You know, why didn't you even hit a house, let alone a tree or a dog or another car? You could have run off into a river or something. But no, you made it there safely, but you have no actual, with your eyes, with your eyes, you have no visual of where you were. It's something that, okay, so what happened? So what we did is we went into our hearts, okay, and then we stayed there for a moment, and then we imagined our pituitary gland, which is our third eye. And then we imagined taking that pituitary gland down into our throat, or first feeling it in our skull and feeling the skull around and in the brain and all that, just kind of getting a sense of it. And then going down into your throat and seeing with your throat. And it's kind of a funny thing, but it's like a metaphor, okay? But it's a true metaphor. As we heard, I've heard several examples, I never knew how, of people reading and they're completely blind. They watch TV, they do everything. They're not looking with their eyes. So then we actually then went back up to our skull, back down to our throat, into our shoulder, and we're, as though we're taking our pituitary gland and seeing, you know, with our third eye from those particular places, all the way to our hand. And then we had some fun. We turned our hand around, looked at ourselves. Okay.
Yep, yep.
It's really bizarre. But now, what just happened? You see, you can listen mentally, like, oh, yes, I hear what you're saying. It makes sense, yeah? You can listen to somebody physically, like your body's having reactions, you know, you're jerking or moving around or being calm. You can listen spiritually, like you just know what's being said. It makes no sense to you at all. Or you can listen emotionally. It moves you in some way. Okay? Now, when you have all of those operating at the same time, this is when change occurs. And typically speaking, when you blip out like that, you're nearly 100% all of those. Now, isn't pretty amazing, yeah? So I remember Alexander tell us, he said there was a fellow that came to his seminars and he would bring a blanket and a cot, you know, and he would go to sleep in the back of the room.
Wow.
And he said that fellow probably got more than anybody else in the room. Okay, so to answer your question, it's like emphatically, if it, my senses with you particularly is that you really were listening at a very, very deep level. And the fact that it changed often certain parts of it, you know, you go off and then maybe the next part you hear that, but the next time you don't hear something else. It's that's the time you're listening with all four bodies. Now the brain wants to fight that. Says, what do you mean? You know? So that, I'm in control here, okay? Your brain wants to say, no, you didn't get anything. You missed the whole thing.
So does the same thing happen if you were listening to a meditation and then drift off to sleep at night?
I think what happens there, and what it, this is actually inadvertently, you've done something that we were trained to do many, many times. For example, you take a glass of water and, you know, just fill it up and take a piece of paper and write down a word, like what it is that you want to accomplish for the week, like clarity, or you want to unconditional love, could be a phrase, you know, or you want completions, and you write down words like that and you set your glass on top of it. Now what you're actually doing is setting an intention. And then your brain, this is how you control your brain instead of your brain controlling you. Your brain's intention for now the entire evening, let's say it was clarity, is clarity.
Hmm.
And you try that three nights in a row, okay? Or even healing. Write down the word healing. And then you say, I'm healing myself. And put your glass on top. Now, when you get up in the morning, the first thing you do is drink that glass of water.
Hmm.
And what's going to happen after 3 days, you're going to notice that your brain is doing exactly what you commanded it to do.
Hmm.
See, if your brain thinks of these things, it's like Dr. Frankenstein, you know. He puts something together synthetically to try to create a real, full, complete being. But he can't. It's synthetic.
Hmm.
Okay, so what we're doing now is saying we're not letting our brain put it together because it misses the pieces. That's only one little part of our existence and one of the smaller parts, as a matter of fact. When we realize that we have an entire body, we have four bodies, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual, which gives us 20 senses. We can hear mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, we can see mentally, physically, spiritually, and physically. And all of these things are very important. When you do them all at once, then you create what's called a definitive moment, like riding a bike. Yeah, mentally, you have to kind of figure out in your head. Physically, you know, you have to actually get on the bike and do it. Emotionally, you've got to have some motivation. Oh, my friends have one and they're getting to the store without me, you know. And spiritually, you have to know that you can do it. Like there's no turning back. This is it. You just know it. It's one of those moments. Then you get on the bike and you ride it. Before you couldn't ride the bike, now you can. And here's the good news. It's forever. You don't forget how to ride a bike, right?
No.
Because you had to line up all those four bodies in order to make it happen. That's interesting, yeah? So what if you said alignment and put your glass on that? And then you say alignment in healing. That's one of the things I had a really big breakthrough over the weekend. I said something like, gave some unsolicited advice to my children, you know, over some years, and it estranged them from me, and they were out of my life for several years. They just, you know, didn't really want to talk to me because I was constantly trying to coach them instead of be their father, you know. And just like I laugh now, the guy says, so your kids didn't talk to you for several years. Well, I mean, we did, but not about anything serious. And he said, how did that make you feel? I said, pretty rotten. He said, but you're laughing. You say, I'm not in alignment. And then it brought me all the way back to when I was working at my father's restaurant, and I had to smile and be happy no matter what when I'm serving the customers. Put a smile on your face. Put a smile on your face, you know. You know, he's yelling at me, put a smile on your face instead of tickling me or something, you know. It's like, and so what happened was all of my emotions went through the process, the vehicle called laughter. It didn't go through crying. It didn't go through, well, I mean, I've done that, but I mean, it went through laughter. Like here I am in court and the judge says, oh, you think that's funny? Bam, and he fines me. He didn't realize, of course, that I was just doing what people call emoting. Some people would cry or scream or fall silent, or I laughed. But I'll tell you something, and I'll share it with you. And this is a good thing to share with your friends. When you know what one of your out signs are, like that's an out sign, like I'm out, off the mark, right? And I'm off the mark, and I go, if you hear me, Veronica, and I have a very high, shrill laugh, I'm in trouble. Say, Greg, are you okay? Sit down, take a breath. And that's something I'll even share with you right now. It's like, remember I talked about earlier, we've talked about it a couple of times, take 60 seconds every hour and do nothing. Whether you're in the middle of a conversation, whether you're driving your car, whatever it is, you know, even if you're driving and you feel you should, you pull over. But it's like, no matter what it is that you're doing, reading a book, watching television, take 60 seconds and just concentrate on your heart. Nothing else. You're breathing right through your heart. And it changes everything. It just changes everything. And then after a while, you just say, any given second, you know, you just say, count to five and just go 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, you know, 5 full seconds. And just stop and do that and feel your breath. Changes everything. This is how, say, for example, when an anxiety, something starts to come on, we get anxious or we start to fret about something, just stop a second, take 60 seconds, or even just 5. It stops the process. First of all, it takes your attention, your brain has to shift over and say, okay, I'm going to do this for you. We're going to count, okay? Then what's happened? It's taken its attention off of what it's beginning to fret. It's so brilliantly simple. And to me, this is one of the greater gifts that I received in knowing some of these things, but forgetting. And just plain forgetting. Huh?
That's the thing, particularly this last few weeks with the vast volumes of information that I've been receiving. When I know that I need to draw on those tools and information, I find sometimes that everything comes at once. And
yes.
And then I've got to stand there and go, well, I get a bit stuck because I'm going, I can't do everything at once.
But the opposite end of that is anxiety. That is everything at once.
Because anxiety has sort of its own life force. It's quite extraordinary. I believe that will also come easier once I've practiced more and applied more what I've learnt into my life. So, this last week has been transformational for me.
This is what now these tools, these things to do, and I'm gonna load you up with a bunch more, okay? And let me change that. Let me just say, I'm gonna give you a few more simple things to get rid of the thousands of things that you don't need to have.
Right.
Operating all at once, you see. And that's just two simple ones right there. And to say that it's transformational just warms my heart, because then it says, wow. Now the saturation process is working. You step back and look at it and say, we've reached a threshold. Like, just take a moment and feel that. Like, I can feel it. I'm tingling all over. So you bask in that moment. Wow, something's happened. I feel good. Let's have more of that. See, the exact opposite when something feels bad. It's like we go right down the chute, you know, and 10,000 things pile on top of it. But this is now, something's going great. Now let's pile 10,000 things on top of that. And I noticed this went great. And I noticed that went great. And I noticed I didn't do this. And I noticed I didn't do that. And I noticed I did do what I wanted to do.
No, it's like with the Abraham Hicks. I feel like I've finally established a new momentum on a new
goal. I'm sorry, that last part?
It's like I finally established a new momentum on a new grid.
Excellent. So what do you want to do with the old bridge?
Well, with bless it and let it go.
Yeah, why not? Take the old bridge and throw a stick of dynamite at it. Blow it up, get rid of it. And when the pieces come showering down, dance on them.
I do have enough. Based on your email that you sent, was to, you know, ask questions. I do have a situation where everything was going, where things are starting to go in the direction that I want them to, and I'm starting to feel that, and I'm starting to experience it. And I put intense focus and concentration on my thoughts and my awareness. I do endeavour to check in with myself quite frequently. For some reason, particularly towards the evening, I find that I get what I call seepage. I just get these unwanted thoughts or sabotaging thoughts seem to just seep into my mind, and then I find I have a bit of a battle to keep them out. Is that just my brain going into overdrive, or what is that?
Yeah. What always amazes me is how in the question is the exact answer. Yeah. See, when it's just as simple as this, we say control, once we control our emotions, then it turns into passion. So you say, instead of my emotions running off with me, I use my emotions as a motivation, like, oh, I'm excited about this, I'm going to want more, or wow, I'm afraid, get your feet moving, get out of there. Use the emotions to save you, rather than to say, oh, I'm too frightened, I'm paralyzed. Okay? So the same thing with the mind. It's the same thing with the mind. See, there's the emotions, that's one tool. Your brain, the mind, is another. Okay? Your heart is what governs all of it. Okay? So you have mental thoughts, you have emotional feelings, you have senses of knowing, and the sense of knowing is where we want to go. So we don't let the emotions run off with us, and then so our brain runs off, then our emotions go, oh, I'm doing it again, I'm helpless and hopeless, and I feel all horrible and inside, and then your brain goes, yeah, give me some more of that, you know, and guess what, you did this wrong and you did that wrong. Then it starts feeding each other. So when you say you've turned the corner, and here's the really, really great news, that now you're noticing when these things are happening, able to stop them before they escalate, and your life begins to balance. Isn't that brilliant? But your brain wants to say, oh, look, I noticed you did that again, you jerk, you're kind of stupid, you're going to have another attack, blah, blah, blah. And you say, wait a minute, no, I noticed it. Yeah, now I have choice.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Mm. Yep. I keep seeing a lion.
Well, I am a Leo.
Okay, well, I just had this view of a lion, but sometimes when I see...
And I roar really well.
Excellent. Use that roar to send your heart's message out, you know? No more complaining, no more, you know, taking it inward. You say, rah, look at this, I am Veronica.
Yeah.
And this is the real Veronica beginning to emerge to find balance. Imagine sometimes when this is starting, there's a situation, perhaps you say, oh, I heard this from some business people I work with, they use the word contentious. this business meeting is going to be contentious, which really means, like, if it's in a family situation, you go, this meeting is going to be a shouting match, okay?
Yeah.
Non sequitur, people not paying attention to each other, me, kind of a thing. And, Jeff, I got a little bit where I was going with that, but it's let's see, let me back up a second. So it is what you make it to be just before you get there. You say, ah, I've experienced this before. This is where you're going. And this time you could say, oh, wait a minute. I've experienced this before. I know how to stop it. And so I would tell those people, I'd say, oh, yeah. So just before you go into the meeting, I want you to say, this is going to be harmonious, powerful, and productive. And then you set your intention, harmonious, powerful, and productive. And guess what happened? The people that usually yelled didn't yell. Because, see, it takes, if you're going to have a dance, it takes two people to do it.
Yeah.
So if one person isn't dancing, there's no dance. The other person, you know, pretty soon, he doesn't hear the music either, or she. Sometimes, if it's, for example, a person that excites the pain, drama, and despair. Yeah. You do something that's called expansion. Like you just expand, you just imagine yourself sitting there and you're getting bigger and you're getting bigger and you're getting bigger and you're just expanding your energy and you're just feeling wonderful and beautiful rainbows flowing through your body and you just see it and you feel yourself just getting bigger. And you rise above the circumstance. Uh-huh. Okay? And actually when you're getting bigger, you even take it in. You just, I'm going to expand on this for a minute. And you just allow yourself to get big and magnanimous. And there's so much power in that. See, that's like a two-second deal. I'm going to expand. By the time you get done saying the word, it's already halfway there. And then you just give it a few more seconds and like you're just like encompassing the whole room. And then you're encompassing the whole house and then the whole neighborhood. And in that expansive state are all the answers that you want to have. Is it just the mind talking? Absolutely. Absolutely. Its job, its sole purpose in life is to try to maintain control and trip you up every step of the way. You have been trained this way for generations. We have been trained this way for eons. We're supposed to obey. We're supposed to learn, regurgitate, and remember. As distinct from, I know something, this is what I wish to remember. And when it is no longer useful and I know something new, then I use that. So some of those thoughts that you come into, is this a useful thought? It's a good question to ask. And sometimes they are, no matter what they sound. Like if you were about to run over a cliff and somebody said, what are you, stupid? Well, it's not a very nice way to say it, you know, but it's a useful thought, isn't it? And the real message is, hey, slow down, you're going to hurt yourself. You hear it? So if you hear something that says, hey, Veronica, what are you, stupid? You say, wait, is there any meaning to this? Should I pay attention for a second? Am I doing something that I already know and I'm not going to use it? And people would call that stupid. Not being a bad or good connotation, but just, why aren't you doing that? So the message might, in itself might not be bad. It might not come in a way that you like to hear it, is all. So there's several ways to handle it. You can say, you know, slow down, one thing at a time. Just give it to me one thing at a time. We'll deal with it. Or I'll tell you what, God, you deal with these. I'll deal with this one. And the rest of these, you come back tomorrow if I need you. In other words, integrate it. It's not set, don't send it away. Just bring it in. Bring it in. Invite it back in so that you can deal with it. This is so beautiful. This is so beautiful. But let's do something else for a second. Are you familiar with Emoto? You know, the water, the fellow talked about the water.
The what, sorry?
He talks about the water. It's like how water has memory.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, indeed.
And so you can place, it's just like the thing with the glass of water. Okay? Now think about this for a second. We are all one body. We're all one body. Mm-hmm. And just like the earth is, what, 76 or 80% water, something like that. Same with our body, depending on our age and size and things of that nature, okay? Yep. And all those internal thoughts, what are we doing? All of the thoughts that we're having, particularly those about ourselves, then we are programming that water. I'm going to take a leap and a jump here because something just occurred to me. So learning how to program a crystal, for example, you simply direct your intention to the crystal and program into it. This is the same way we would program water.
Uh-huh.
Exactly the same way. So we say to yourself, and this is so brilliant, this is another like 1 minute thing. I'm healing myself now. Brain, take care of it. Now you've given your brain something to do. Brain, I see you're taking me to anxiety. Take me to peace now.
Hmm.
And that's why the practice, yeah, do you hear it? See now,
yep.
Well, we had to go through the long version to keep our brains busy. The long version, and this is really short, let me tell you something, compared to most. The Hopi said, you know, in order to get into your heart, you go, oh, it's very easy, it's very easy. All you have to do is be silent. And then we say, okay, I can do that, you know. And then he says, yeah, you go into a dark room and you stand up for 9 days, day and night. It's completely pitch black, no food nor water, and you get into your heart. They go, oh, yeah, it's simple.
Oh, no. Wow.
All you had to do was center for 20 minutes.
Hmm.
But center until you're centered. So you do 20 minutes today. You do 20 minutes in the afternoon, 20 minutes in the evening, 20 minutes the next morning, 20 minutes, 40 minutes the next morning. Maybe you do it and you wind up in a trance for 2 hours. Each and every time you do it, you are more centered into your heart than ever before.
Hmm.
So you've been practicing who you are up till this moment.
Hmm.
From the time you were born. So now,
yep.
Now the good news about practicing the way we're practicing is we've condensed all of those little gazillion megabytes, and we've defragged the computer, okay, the brain, and we're going straight to where we need to be to create the desired result, where before, all of these things that you're programming yourself are coming in at random.
Hmm.
So we defrag those, get them into bunches, and either kick them out or use them to go forward.
Hmm.
Once you see what they are.
Hmm.
And then another just 1 minute gem. And these are things we're all aware of, but like you say, in the moment.
Yeah.
And that's why it's good to have an arsenal. Because, you know, I don't know, the way my brain strings things together sometimes, it makes no sense. But, boy, I'm so glad it does. I think, God, I'm just feeling awful. Boy, hey, there's an ice cream store. How lucky am I? Then I can have some gratitude.
Yeah.
Okay. You just take a pause.
Yeah. Hmm.
Just say, oh, God, thank you, God. I look at my hands. They still work. I'm breathing. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that lightly. I can remember I had been in deep depression. I understand. I know what it is. Where I wake up in the morning, I say, what's the best thing that happened to me today? When I finally could even complete that sentence, and words would come out like, well, I'm breathing.
Mm.
I'm breathing quite well. I mean, it's not labored. It's, well, I'm breathing. That's a good start. And then I would try to think of something else, and I couldn't.
Mm.
And I said, well, I'm breathing. Let's get on with the day.
Yeah.
And then, without even being able to acknowledge it, like my brain does not acknowledge it, from that second forward is a plus.
Mm.
And my brain won't see it. So I went to work. That's a plus. I made money. Well, that's a plus. I accomplished something. That's a plus. Self-esteem, making money, accomplishment. I wake up the next morning and say, what's the best thing you have to do today or yesterday? I don't know. I'm breathing. And off we go again. And that lasted for years.
Wow.
So I really do know what it's about. And then there's days I didn't want to get up and didn't. You see, it's a matter of now practicing what it is that you do want. Because we have been practicing, in particular circumstances, what it is that we don't.
Yes.
It's all, of course, we're good at it.
Hmm.
I'm something else jumping into my head, and I want to say it now. And that's, there was another, just one of these beautiful, beautiful things. They called it Fingers of Light. And Claudia gave us this one at Drumblow. I've done something similar, but what I'm really appreciating about some of the things that they're really doing now and other people that I met is simplifying. Even less, even less, even less. You say, oh, I want good health. I go, okay. Okay, that one's done. What's next? You know? You know? Yeah. And you just accept it immediately. I'm laughing, but how often do we say, I say, how are you? Oh, poor. Well, why don't you just say, well, I'm doing well, but this is, you know, I have no money in my pocket. Hmm. You see, we program ourselves inadvertently. Hmm. We use words that absolutely don't work. Hmm. They're not used properly. They're careless.
Hmm.
Okay? And so here it is. So just let's just do it. This is really brilliant. So just close your eyes there, get comfortable, and breathe. Now, I want to back up and give you one more thing before we do this one. And that's, when you breathe, just imagine there's a tube of light at the top of your head and a tube of light at the bottom of the base of your spine. And that tube goes into the earth, and the tube above you goes up, and it's connected to all that is. It's connected to the Divine Father, the male energy. And the tube below you is connected to the energy of the earth, the female energy. And when you breathe, you're breathing in and out through those tubes, like up and down through your body, right through the center of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we did that golden ball, and we sent it all the way to the center of the earth. But this is just your breath. Don't have to go that far.
Mm.
Okay? Because your breath is going to connect to everything and all that is instantly. It is part of this larger organism. So just take some nice breathing now. And every time I say that, we're going to breathe like that. And it looks like a nice figure eight moving through your body. You know, just a nice, gentle little figure eight out of the tube, back into the tube, up, down, you know, back through the tube, and through the heart. Be conscious of it going through the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And now just close your eyes. And you're only going to do this in your mind. Do not do it physically. Okay? You just close your eyes, and then just imagine your right hand or your left hand, whichever is comfortable for you, and you just put it up above your head, like you raise your hand. Just do this in your mind's eye, not physically. And then all of a sudden, you see your hand expanding, and it lengthens out. It just lengthens, it gets just expands longer and longer and longer, right up to the sky, and it goes past the clouds, and it goes into the atmosphere. And it has this direct connection with the sun. And as the sun beats directly into your hand, it begins to get a little transparent. And it's taking on the light of the sun. It's getting all brilliant and shiny and sparkling. And it's vibrating and pulsating. And your fingers get longer and longer and longer. And they just reach out into the universe, picking up all this energy. They're like transparent. And yet all of these beautiful, beautiful colors. It's a hand, you know. Hand is glowing and the fingers are growing even brighter and brighter and brighter. And then you see what part of the body that you want to heal, and you bring in your mind's eye, your hand just turns around, and your elbow bends, and you touch that part of your body with your fingers, and all of that healing light goes into that part of your body. And it may, your fingers may even go into your body and touching certain parts of your body, wherever it is that there's pain. And when the energy subsides, your hand just shrinks back to normal. And it's sitting right where it started. And what do you notice?
Well, that's a very beautiful energy.
Isn't it? And whose energy is that? This is the key.
I love simple.
Isn't? Yeah. It's your own life force, yes. And you did it all. And how simple is it? And when you feel something happening, or you feel a pain or something going on, or even a mental condition or an emotional thought or something, emotional feeling rather, and you just want to stop it and you just allow, then just, wait a minute, brain, do this for me, please. And now you're using another one of the tools you inherently have, your brain, for you and not against you. So just stop what you're doing for a second. Take care of this for me. And when we come back, I'm going to count to five. We're just going to breathe and I'll let you relax. Now, what's fun about this whole conversation is who's the I and who's the we?
I get a bit mad about that. Then I'm going, hey, what's I?
isn't it fun, though, you see?
Yeah.
It's just fun. So you imagine a perfect organ in your body, huh? And you just imagine your hand coming down to cleanse and make it perfect and send that beautiful light of the Christ consciousness or God or however you want to call it. And you imagine that complete part of your body completely healed. You just imagine it. It doesn't have to, you don't have to have any details because your higher self knows exactly what it is your intention is. You say, brain, carry this out for me. Just do it. Just take a break from all your bitching and moaning. Take care of this for me. I need you to do it now. And you declare that love within yourself with great intent. I mean, it's just so brilliant. So, and listen, you can even do it with the water, so to speak, you know, the cells of your body. You know, they have memory. Everybody talks about this, you know. Science even knows your cells have memory. Why, if a part of your body isn't working, why doesn't all, and every organ in your body replaces itself a couple of times a year, some of them, and some it takes a year, and so, but why doesn't it then become whole and complete? Because the cells have a memory.
Yeah.
So what you want to do is go and buy a blonde wig for each one of those cells and let them forget. But the way truly
they'll just get confused.
Oh.
Yeah.
And the way that you can get them to go is you say, you know what, all you guys, I see you detaching. You declare your intention and you just touch yourself with that beautiful hand of light. And you say, yeah, I see this detaching from my body and leaving now. Or I see this transmuting into perfect and beautiful operating cells. Because our bodies are truly the miracle of this universe. The entire, all of the universes in the world are watching Earth right now because we were the only beings, we were the only energies of all the species, zillions of them, given this free will within the body of the whole. This is crucial. And it, within this free will doesn't mean, well, I get to do this and I get to do that. No, it means I get to be one with all that is. It's not a personal thing. And of course, it's intensely personal. But it isn't me, me, me. It's we, we. Oh, well, you know what I mean. It's we. I am. You are. We are one. And if you want, you know, your brain, you have something to do, have it. Have toast your noodle over that one. Like every single bit of our existence is because our will created it, and the will is collective. It is all of our will. Also, how could we not agree that something is a chair? We all see a chair and we all sit on it. We know it's a chair. Not one of us goes to that chair and says, that's not a chair. We have a collective consciousness that we're already working together on, that we have agreed upon coming into this place to say, okay, here is a current reality. Now, what if we didn't? What if we said, wait a minute, there are infinite realities And one of those infinite realities is we can heal ourselves in a heartbeat. I can heal myself in a heartbeat. We had examples. I actually saw a young girl read a book with her feet.
Wow.
Yeah. Infinite possibilities. Infinite possibilities. And, you know, we go through this process, oh, take it to the pituitary gland and move it here, move it there. It's because we need to get the brain out of the way, that's all. But it also is that we are using our heart knowledge, our heart energy, to create, which we're doing in every second anyway. It's just been overshadowed by what we've been taught. So now we can say, wait, I don't kick my brain. I don't want to shut it off. I don't want to turn it away. For example, here's it was a really fun one. So ask yourself a question. So here's what you're going to do. First, just close your eyes. Now see your head rotate behind, directly back, 180 degrees. So you're looking straight backwards, but your body's perfectly forward. And then ask the question, whatever question you want to ask. And you just ask it to yourself. And when you have one, let me know. Kind of weird, isn't it?
Well, the only thing that came into my head was why.
Why you turn your head around?
Yeah.
Okay. Now imagine turning your head back forward again.
Yeah.
And answer the question. Don't you love your brain? It's going, let's do that again so I get the answer.
I know. It just confuses. It's just confusing for me.
Aha. Okay.
My brain got confused.
Ah, brilliant. You say, wow, brain, didn't take much.
It really doesn't. But I love that. It's fine. I have no issue with that.
You're going to have some fun with that one. Well, I found it so funny. First of all, when I was told to do it, it's like I couldn't come up with the question. Brain's going, not playing this game. No, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to give you a question. I'm not going to trick myself into answering my own question. No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But you know, even, and particularly as a sharp professional shawari, when you hear somebody say, well, gee, my brain did this, do you think it's my brain? What's the answer? You see, it's already been answered. And now the brain would say, hey, let's take Veronica into confusion. Let's just kill this thing right away. But Veronica's laughing about it, so it didn't work. So Veronica says, I'm going to do it again and again until it works. But yeah, I'm going to have fun with this one. See, now you have taken over. You've not let your brain take over. This is a huge step in healing. Absolutely huge. I just completed a newsletter I'm going to send to you all, and it has some fun stuff in it, a little picture that you're going to enjoy. But it's like imagination trumps everything. And so allow yourself to imagine just like a kid. Just like a kid. I had heard some stories, and I heard them again over these last couple of weeks, about a particular, some particular children that they've been working with in China, who for whatever reason either were born without a limb, a leg, or an arm, or lost them early on in some type of accident and grew them back. Just because the best thing they can figure is they didn't know they couldn't.
Yeah.
They'd not yet been subjected to society's rules, which I would call society's suppression.
Yes. Yeah.
See, with our tremendous knowledge, and you have actually learned much knowledge, and many of us have, that is productive, helpful, feeling like it's new, it's something that is for the benefit of everybody, and we've learned that. The truth of the matter is we've always, always, always known it. And so our brain cleverly lops that into the category called, yeah, and I learned how to regurgitate and repeat and respect and do what somebody else says and take what somebody else says as truth. Even if it looks like their truth in the moment, it's okay. It's still not mine. And then lump that into one place and call it all okay when it isn't. Because if I stopped at a traffic light and it was red and I never looked at it again, I'd be stuck there the rest of my life. See, because I'd say, oh, no, it's red. I saw it's red. I know it's red. That's the truth. I believe it now. But it's not the truth. It's only the truth in the moment. I'll rephrase that. Yes, it is the truth, but only in the moment. Now, see, this is what we do with our bodies. We stop at that light. We say, oh, well, this is the truth. And then I believe it. And then the real truth pops up and you ignore it. And it pushes it away. You push it away. And like at the traffic light, all of a sudden the cars don't know what to do because you're at the corner. And so everybody starts to get congested. Then finally somebody punches you in the nose and says, look at the light. And you say, oh, it's green. I can go now. But you can't. You've mucked it all up. Now you have a couple choices right at this critical, critical moment. You can say, I'm going to use my imagination, grab a helicopter, and get out of here. Or you can say, God, I'm stuck here, and say, now, look what's happened. The light's red forever. I can't change it. And shrivel up. And die. Wow, we can change it now. You say, no, here's a helicopter. Or you could say, I'm inviting the cloak of invisibility. Well, I'm going to pretend I'm Moses, and we're just going to part the ways here, and I'm going to ride through unscathed.
Yeah?
Yeah? And your brain does not know the difference. Brain, handle it for me. Get me out of here. No condemnation, no blame. Hey, you got me and get me out. No, brain, I got a new job for you. Let's follow my heart for a minute. It thinks it knows the way. Would you mind steering, driving, hitting the gas and the brake, and watching the next lights for us intently so we know when to go and when to stop? Isn't it fun? Make a game out of it like a child and play it every day. That's what makes it work. It's no good to do these things once. Remember, you've been doing it tens of thousands of times as you've grown up. So yes, give yourself to your heart, and your heart is your connection to God. So you're giving yourself to God. This is what these sort of things mean. And when they're said without the kind of deep understanding that we're getting now, they don't mean much. It's what I would call blind faith. What we are going to have is completely acute and beautiful, open-eyed, full cognition faith. I see, I just had a vision. There's a gold ball descending, and it's just traveling right through your body. Just take a moment and just feel it, let it happen. It's all of a sudden, there's an opening in your crown chakra, and this beautiful gold ball is just flowing down through your body. It just, everybody else that's going to be listening to this, imagine this as well. Just allow it to happen. This is a gift from Veronica. Because it's happening now, and her stepping forward and using her heart and being on this call and agreeing to talk about her own personal things in a way she knows that you're going to listen to. And being courageous to ask the questions that are on her mind and to follow her heart to heal. And she's given a gift now, probably from all of us. And that gift is for all of us. So just imagine that beautiful gold ball just shining, sparkling, passing through your body again and again and again, erasing all that no longer serves you, transmuting all that can be used as energy, transmuting all cells that aren't operating at peak capacity into brilliantly. Bringing in auspicious qualities and beautiful beams of golden healing light, emanating, pulsating throughout the entire being. Being courageous, stepping out, getting out of the stream so you can see what it looks like, then jumping in and let it take you the way you want to go. This is what it takes. This is how community happens. This is how we can serve each other and ourselves. Notice how it feels. Notice that with that beautiful energy and power inside you, you can empower and bring energy to others. It's like popcorn. You pop, and then they pop. Someone else pops. Four more pop. And some never do. And it's all just a trick. How beautiful is that? So do practice to practice. Use all of these tools. There's tons of them in this talk right now with Veronica. She's so beautifully allowed quick and easy ways to get ourselves in position to heal and mind and even do some of the longer ones. Healing into our lives, to acknowledge all of the power that we have within, to really listen, to balance yourself and all of the powers that you have, and ultimately to heal your body. Using what seems like etheric things from the past, after some other time or some other dimension. Now, next week, we're going to connect these worlds. Because I know sometimes it gets frightening. You see and hear and feel things that you've never seen, heard, or felt before. And when this occurs, you know what to do. So practice, practice, practice. So God bless and have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week. Practice, practice.